Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, March 4th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Steve, Lauren, Chris, Bob, and we have a special guest today, Jennifer. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hi there.
And happy welcome to Jennifer.
Thank you.
Okay, on today's show, we will be bringing you news from all around Disney. Today's topic is going to be Disney marathons. We'll be talking about that in just a little bit. But first, we're going to jump in with announcements. And Steve, you're going to go first.
We're up to clue number 3 for the Hidden Pixie on the Disney Wonder cruise
ship. Before you give that away, how have the guesses been?
Well, this one, you have to take a photo and send it in. So you have to take a photo of you with the item to win. So no guessing on Facebook.
Okay.
Because the ship is pretty small and someone would find it pretty quick. So this one, you guys have to know where this one is. So clue number 3 is mile 20.
Oh, you're giving it away.
Well, it's pretty much right there. So send a photo of you to comments@mousechat.net. And if you're on this next week's cruise, Bob is going to be on that cruise. So also, if you can find Bob... And take a picture with Bob and send it to me. I'll find something to give you. So just
send that's not fair. I want to go take a picture with Bob.
See? You could get on that cruise.
But don't make arrangements to meet with Chris because that just won't happen. No. Sorry.
So it's mile okay. 20, comments@mousechat.net.
All right. Well,
at least it's not me, Chris.
I know. I'm really going to never live that down, am I?
No, and it's all abuse with love, but...
I know.
No, you're not going to live it down.
I feel special.
I'm sorry. Okay, so do we have any other announcements? Bob, you're usually big on announcements.
No, actually, today I am announcements out. Announcements?
Announcement free?
Yes, but now with less announcements. 20% fewer announcements, yes.
Okay.
I'm good. So.
Okay, very good. Well, let's go ahead and move to news. Who has a news segment for tonight?
I have a quick one.
Okay.
So Nordstrom's and the Disney Consumer... What was that? I'm sorry, was I the only one who heard the heavy breathing?
No, that was a gasp. That was not heavy breathing. That was a gasp. Because that was my story.
Oh, was it really?
I think it is. I don't think there are too many Disney stories around Nordstrom.
Do you want to take that?
No.
Because I have another one.
Oh, I might because I don't have another one. That's my
go ahead and take it because I can't talk for very long now anyway because I'm just going to pee my pants dying. So, okay, here's what I've got, people. Tomorrow is the first day of the Flower and Garden Festival.
Wrong, because the Flower and Garden Festival would have started on Wednesday and this is broadcast on Friday.
March 2nd is the first day of the Flower and Garden Festival.
This says
at
March
Epcot.
4th. We just said March 4th. Yeah,
I know. Okay. So 2 days ago.
So has anybody gone yet?
I went today. It was fantastic.
I really like what they've done with all that new butterfly exhibit.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. That was really cool.
Okay. So let me start off again. My announcement is short and sweet. And it's that the 2nd of March, 2 days ago, is the first day of the Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot. Which was run to mid-May.
Was, you know.
Whatever. Should I go again?
No.
I don't know.
No, because I'm not going to edit any of that out.
Okay, thanks.
Well, you can tell us that, you know, it's running through May 15th or something.
It is. It's running through May 15th.
Okay, so that's good.
I threw myself on a bullet for you. No, wait, on a grenade.
Actually, I let me just say that I am excited for the Flower and Garden Festival this year because headlining at the front of the park are topiaries from Toy Story.
That's exciting.
That is exciting because they've never done that before. So Buzz and Woody and all of those characters will be making an appearance.
You know what, Chris? I feel really bad now because I've already attacked you a couple times and the show's barely started. Why don't you take the Nordstrom story? No, that's okay. Because I would love to discuss it with you because I happen to love Mary Blair with all my heart. Okay. Please take it. No, seriously. No, that's okay. No, you'll do a good job. Remember, you have the sexy voice.
All right, I'm going to take it in a minute.
I might give it to you, too.
Okay.
Well, the Nordstrom story is that Nordstrom is going to be carrying a new line of Disney baby clothes. And what Disney's doing is they've selected a whole bunch of hospitals nationwide. And these hospitals are going to be giving away free, little onesies, bodysuits, to newborns, to the moms, I guess, to put on the newborns. So they're going to start the kid off right by putting them in a Disney onesie. And if you end up delivering in a hospital that just doesn't have those freebies, don't fret because you can go to Nordstrom and get one yourself. They're going to have different themes that are going to be coming out, and the line will feature some fancy schmancy type high-end baby brands, Petunia Picklebottom. They're going to have some Trumpet that makes those cute little socks for babies. They're going to do some, and it's going to be there's going to be a central theme of It's a Small World. It's still going to be pretty pricey because onesies I typically don't pay more than a couple dollars for, even if they're cute. But these are going to start at $18. And then they're going to have other apparel, and that's going to go upwards towards $160 or so.
Did you see the t-shirts?
I did not.
The t-shirts are really cute. I personally would wear them because I love Mary Blair.
I'll have to look for those.
$160 for kids' clothes.
Yeah, but that could be like a sweater or a jacket. I'm assuming it should be something like that. I can't imagine it wouldn't be something big like that for $160.
Nordstrom often has crazy stuff. I've seen $100 pairs of shoes for little girls.
Oh,
wow. Prada. I just can't fathom that. But I am kind of surprised that Disney hasn't actually thought of this sooner. Or hadn't, worked something like this out sooner, because that's, they're usually all about slapping their name on all kinds of products, so.
Yeah, and onesies are real cheap.
If you look at this stuff, though, like they have some little shirts and legging sets for little girls. It doesn't really look very Disney. It does have sort of a Mary Blair kind of influence going on, but it looks a little more high end. And this little outfit I'm looking at right now, it's only $42, which, still is a lot to pay for somebody who's, 18 months old. But it's cute. Little pants with ruffles, a little shirt.
I have no idea who Mary Blair is, but...
Mary Blair?
Small world.
Are you kidding? Bob, I don't even know you. You are dead to me right now. Wow.
Wow, that's harsh.
That's harsh.
The artwork in the contemporary?
Yes. Oh, okay. And that Mary Blair. I knew the name sounded familiar.
It's a Small World. There you go.
Okay. No, I knew the name sounded familiar, but I couldn't... I thought she'd written like one of the Twilight series books.
Oh, I was picturing Green Vomit and Head Spinning Around, but that was a different Blair.
Yes, Linda Blair.
I'm sorry.
Well, she may also have her own line of clothing. I mean, we don't
she know. May. The splattered look.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting. Well, you know what? I think it'll probably be very, very successful. I really am surprised Disney hadn't thought of it sooner.
Nothing you say has any meaning to me anymore.
And this is what I deal with on Facebook. Just like to make our listeners aware of that. She hates me.
I'm sending you some stuff right now, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Hate so mail. You can educate yourself.
Okay.
I think she's sending you the address to mail it to.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that is my only story. So
I have over at Disneyland a couple quick announcements on some stuff we talked about last week. So Disneyland Parks, Mickey's Soundstational Parade That's going to open May 27th. And then Star Tours and The Little Mermaid have been moved back to open on June 3rd.
Kind of surprised that Star Tours is opening later there.
Yeah, they just announced that they're going to move it back. And it was kind of quiet. So they must have some things they're still working on.
I don't know if maybe they started later too. Who knows? They don't do the Star Wars weekends either like Walt Disney World does. So, I suppose it's good that, the one at Hollywood Studios opens on time and opens
early.
Yeah. Wow, that's going to be great. And I know people are definitely excited about the Little Mermaid ride from what I've seen and from what I've read about it. It looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get a sneak peek of what it'll look like over at Disney World.
Right, yeah, since they're going to have it about a year ahead of time.
Any other stories?
I've got one, real quick. Construction has now started in earnest over at Pleasure Island, or what is to be the new Hyperion Wharf area. So the walls are up, and the Rock and Roll Beach Club is gone, and Motions Club is also gone. They've been demolished and supposedly making room for the park that is going to be built in its place there, and it's supposed to open this summer, that portion of it. And the word is that the glittering Pleasure Island sign is going to be taken down very shortly as well. So,
did you ever go skating in that that one bar?
No, I didn't know you could.
Yeah, the second floor was a skating rink. And you could rent, for free, you could rent the shoes, the roller skates. But that didn't last long. You get a bunch of drunk people, and then you give them roller skates. Right. So that only lasted like a couple months. And then they
the liability issues were too great?
Yeah, then they just put a bunch of arcade games all around the roller skating rink part of it.
Okay, but yeah, apparently the grassy area is going to be below Paradiso 37, which is where the beach club used to be, and this is all phase one of the redevelopment. Ultimately, it's just going to be a lot more shops and dining, which is a shame. I would have hoped they would have kept at least a couple of those clubs, like the Adventurers Club and the Improv Comedy Club. Those were always my favorites.
I loved A-Trax.
You would.
Oh, that's mean. I used to do mannequins every Thursday.
Oh,
well,
really?
I think it's good that they take down all this stuff. And I don't think they've even changed the signs yet over by the Downtown Disney West side. I think they still say Pleasure Island.
It's been 2 years. It's been over 2 years, and they still have all the Pleasure Island signs up.
So that's kind of un-Disney-like. Usually they're pretty quick about taking that stuff down. But this is progress and phase one, so.
Can I ask you a quick question? They haven't announced any of the restaurants yet, have they?
No, they haven't, or the shops.
Okay. Any other news for tonight?
I have one.
Okay.
It's a little one.
Okay, that counts.
It's not a half a story, though. Disney's Animal Kingdom evening extra magic hours are now mornings only. Animal Kingdom is no longer going to be offering evening extra magic hours. There will still be morning ones. The other three parks are still running both morning and evening. The last Animal Kingdom evening extra, that's like a tongue twister, boy, extra magic hour night was held on February 23rd, and they're not clear on whether or not it's going to be permanent, but there's no further evening extra magic hours listed for Animal Kingdom through September right now.
That's disappointing because it was always a really nice park to walk through at night.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially since that park gets about 10 degrees hotter than anywhere else because of all the vegetation.
Is that why? Is that the reason?
Well, all the cement and all the vegetation, yeah, traps the heat in. Yeah. So, but no, it was just nice to be able to ride Everest at night. That was quite the experience. I mean, it's not like much was open at night there because obviously, you know, they don't keep the safari open at night and any of those exhibits. So it was limited in what was available, but I thought it's still enjoyable. So,
what was the reasoning?
I don't think they gave a reason.
They didn't really specify.
Okay,
there was nothing listed.
I don't know. I mean, I know that some of the other Pixie agents have, you know, have said they're hoping that it means that they're fixing the Yeti.
Speculation.
At night. But yeah, that's purely speculation. Maybe it just wasn't drawing the, you know, the crowds that the other parks do for extra magic hours.
I think you have to imagine that that's probably the case, right?
I think it probably all comes down to money.
Right.
You know, what does it cost to keep that park open at night and staffed versus, you know, what are they bringing in dollar-wise?
I like to think that it's all for the animals and they don't want people bothering the animals at night.
I'm thinking that the animals just aren't active.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but I mean, even when they had extra magic hours, I mean, you didn't get to see the animals. I mean, you basically got to ride Dinosaur and Everest, and I think the Congo Rapids or the Rapids ride was open, and I mean there really wasn't much at all to do at night.
Well, and that's kind of I've always felt that that's more of a half day park anyway, so it's not a park that you're going to really need to spend 10 or 11 hours in.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, I mean, if you want to do the trails and walk those at your pace and spend a lot of time there and go to the conservation station. And
I do like that.
I love the conservation station.
And if you're lucky enough to see them working on an animal, you know, that's something, you know, that many people don't see.
Amber has declared that she wants, when she grows up, she wants to be an animal trainer or an animal vet at Walt Disney World. And I think that is so cool.
Oh, I want to be that when I grow up.
Nobody wants to be a Shamu trainer anymore.
No. Can't blame them.
No. Well, I guess not. But yeah, no, so I don't know. I mean, it's just, I wonder now if the other parks are going to pick up, like, one of the other evening extra magic hours. Like, the night that you would normally have evening extra magic hours at Animal Kingdom, what's going to be available? Is anything going to be available? I mean, are they going to substitute another park in, or is it just going to be...
They don't always do that.
No, they don't.
So maybe they're just cutting back, period. Okay. Well, let's move on to the main topic then. We're going to move on to Disney marathons. And I know that some of our agents do love to do some of the marathons, and well, either a 5K, they do the half marathons. I don't know if anyone actually does more than that. I don't think so, but there is some interest there. But then Chris and Jennifer, you both do marathons, correct? Or run of some?
Run. Yeah, I have been a runner. I'm sort of not running right now.
So having never done anything like this or honestly looked into it too much. I don't even know what kind of running opportunities there are within Disney.
Oh, okay. I can help you with that one. Disney, I actually started looking into this when I was pregnant because I was out of shape and miserable. And being in the Army, I have to run 2 miles a couple times a year for our tests. So I was like, how do I not hate this? And how do I get back in shape after having a baby? And so I knew Disney had races, and they have... In January, they host the marathon weekend, and they have a 5K, which is 3 miles, 3.1 miles. They have a half marathon, which is 13.1, and a full marathon, which is 26.2.
There's a 5K. They call that the Halloween Fun Run. And
okay.
And also, the nice thing about that, the half marathon, is that you can go ahead and run that as a relay. So one person will take 5 miles, and the other person takes 8. So that's like a really good sort of introductory experience for people who maybe aren't up for the full 13 miles, but can maybe run eight or five. And the nice thing about these runs is they require you to maintain a 16-minute mile.
You can basically walk. Yeah.
Right. It's pretty doable for most people as long as you can go, as long as you can just keep walking. And also, they're, you know, I don't know how strict they are. I mean, did you see a lot of people being pulled out of the half marathon in January?
I didn't see anyone, but I started somehow in like a higher corral and I ran the thing. So,
okay.
I mean, I was slow and I got past a lot, but I didn't see any vans driving by to pick people up.
I know that they had picked up some people in the 5K, surprisingly, but overall, I think you can kind of push that 16-minute mile a little higher. So
I think as long as there's people around you, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Is that 16-minute mile, is that for any of the races? Or
it's for all of the races, yeah.
Okay. It just seems interesting that they would have that for the marathon and for a 5K.
Yeah, people walk them. I can't imagine walking.
They walk
that
a 5K?
Now. I think people would walk the 5K, but people definitely walk in the half and the whole.
You would be surprised.
Well, the 5K is really only 2.5 miles, right?
It's 3.1.
Yeah.
So for people.
There were actually a lot of people walking the Princess 5K, apparently.
That would be me.
You know what? As long as they're out there and doing something, right? That's great.
I'd be walking to the margaritas.
Yeah. But you're probably walking more than that in a day in Disney World anyway, right? So
I
might
as well
get a little medal at the end of it.
Has anyone ever worn a pedometer in Disney World or Epcot or anything like that?
We tried to use GPS last summer, and then my husband forgot to turn it off when we got in the monorail, so that kind of killed that one.
Made you look really good.
Too funny. I think some people at Touring Plans have actually done that. So when we talk to them, is it next week? Maybe we should ask.
I would imagine it's very easy to do 8 or 9 miles, especially if you're in a park like Epcot and you're crisscrossing back and forth. I know this isn't really the same thing, but out of curiosity, years ago when I was working retail, I was working in a sporting goods store selling sneakers and would have to constantly run in the back room, you know, to fetch shoes and things. And I wore a pedometer just to see in one day. And just in an 8-hour shift, there were days I could do just running back and forth in hallways 8 or 9 miles.
Oh. Well, the World Showcase itself is over 1, so you walk that once, and I always go around that at least twice.
Let me ask you a question about transportation, because I know that's like a big problem for a lot of people, because, you know, obviously there aren't any buses or monorails running at, you know, 3 in the morning when you have to get up and
they
get...
They are. They start on race days. They start the monorails.
Do they really?
Okay. Monorails and buses at 3 a.m.
So how did you get from your resort to the race?
Well, we stayed off property because we had my parents in and the baby, so we all had our own rooms. So we drove in because I had read that parking can be horrendous. So we left our resort, our villa, at like 2:45, and we were there at 2:50, and we're in like the first row of parking at Epcot. And it's the Epcot parking. So there was absolutely no problem getting there, and we just sat in our car for an hour because it was 3 a.m. We didn't have to be there until – we had to be in our corrals at 5.
How tiring, though.
Yeah,
it's got to be really hard to be up at 3 in the morning.
Well, you're kind of on adrenaline. I didn't sleep much the night before because it was like, oh, I'm going to run around Disney World. You know, you're excited. So, yeah, we were pretty tired that morning, but it was they had the DJ going at 3 a.m.
Now, I know that there were a lot of problems after the Wine and Dine, and that was one of the big beefs that people had, was that when the Wine and Dine half ended, people ended up in Epcot. And Epcot stayed open until 3 in the morning. At 3 in the morning, there was no monorail running, and the bus system was pretty bad. People were having to take cabs back to their resorts, so that's why I asked.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Yeah, and I also heard with the Wine and Dine is that they didn't have anything open, and people were just – it was just throngs of people, and it was horrible. And so people said it wasn't worth it. But they said they're changing that this year.
Oh, really? Because there weren't any bathrooms. I mean, like, it was a 30-minute wait for the bathroom at the after party.
They said that they were opening up more of the park this year for the after party.
Yeah, that would be smart, because all they had open was the World Showcase, and it was just packed.
and it wasn't even all the stores. It was just like a couple of things here and there.
Right.
I understood.
Right. It was so, the food and wine booths were basically open.
Right. So they're opening up a lot more. I don't know what, I don't think they've said officially how much more, but they're opening up more for the food and wine after party.
How many people run / walk these races, would you say?
The half marathon had 27,000 people.
Good Lord.
Plus, wow. My favorite part was that, I guess it's the Army thing in me, an Air Force officer in Afghanistan set up a race over there. So at the same time that we started our half marathon, they started a half marathon in Afghanistan. So that 500 people over there with our, or 5,000? I don't know. A lot of people over there with our 27,000.
That's amazing. Good for them.
It was over 50,000 people that ran in marathon weekend.
Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah, it was an experience, and I'd never really been a runner. I'd never had been over 4 miles until September of last year.
Well, now, would you say, based on your experience, that the half and full marathons that are held in January are probably the most popular for runners?
Yeah, they're the most popular for, like, runners. I think the other ones are probably more for Disney runners. And it's the biggest push that Disney has. The biggest push they do is for marathon weekend. The other races, I think I read 17,000 people. So
there's a ton of people that go.
Yeah. Well, we found that the parks were dead after the race. So it was like, it's like our annual tradition now is we're going to go run and then stay the week after when the parks were, I mean, there was no lines for anything. It was amazing.
I think, well, when do they have a January race. When do the other races fall?
The January race is like the weekend after New Year's. So I think it's the 6th next year, that weekend, 6th through 8th or something. Princess weekend is the end of February. Disneyland has a half that's Labor Day this year. And then Disney World is the first weekend of food and wine. So marathon weekend is kind of like the absolute nothing time of year. Everybody's just gone back to school and it's like, okay, let's come to the parks now. They actually started giving away a free day into the park for marathon runners, Marathon Monday. So if you ran the full marathon, you got in to a park for free.
Now, was that just for the full and not for
just
the half?
For the full, which upset a lot of people because the half,
sure,
you pay the same amount.
The interesting thing is that they don't offer any ticket discounts for the January marathon. They do for Princess and for the Wine and Dine half. And those discounts are really, really good. I mean, you know, you can get a park hopper, for a 3-day park hopper for $165, which is an incredibly good deal.
Right.
But they don't do that for January.
It is surprising. I looked into it and they didn't have anything.
Yeah. And the room discounts, just so everyone knows, are really not that good. You can probably get a better discount with a general public code than you can with the sort of marathon package that they sell. It's just really not a good deal.
I had a client run the half this year, and yeah, she did better with the $300 gift card.
Right.
Offer.
And because you can buy, like, if you're going to run the Wine and Dine or you're going to run the Princess, because you can buy those tickets separately and then still get your discounted room, it's a really good deal. So,
but aren't there only certain resorts that are participating in that 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. transportation?
I know they are for the Princess and for the Wine and Dine. I don't know about the January.
I think it was most of them for January, if not all. I know a lot of people stay at Pop because it's just the easiest one. It's apparently like the runner's haven is Pop Century. But a friend of mine stayed at Caribbean and she had no problem.
Yeah, a friend of mine who ran the Wine and Dine half couldn't get back to her resort at the Contemporary. She had to take a bus. Well, actually, she was able to go to the Polynesian, which was one of the hotels that was for race weekend. She went to the Polynesian, but then nothing was open, so they took a cab from the Poly to the Contemporary.
That's awful.
In the middle of the night. Yeah, it was pretty. It was like I said, it was kind of a mess. So,
well, that happened to me after the race. We had parked in the Epcot parking lot in like the front row where they had us seated. And they had the back parking lot open, and those people were going out and blocked all of us in. So we just sat in the parking lot for like an hour and a half after the race.
Wow. Now, if you had to give someone like a big tip, like, you know, don't do this or don't do that, or here's where the bathrooms are, or here's where the character meets are, because I know that you can get pictures with characters and stuff. What would you tell people? What kind of advice would you give?
For bathrooms, I was impressed. There were bathrooms with toilet paper from before the start all the way through the race. Like, that was never an issue. Characters are everywhere. I missed a few, but they say to stay on the outside, so that way you get your picture taken more by the photographers. And you can see the characters more. They're going to be on either side. I don't really know. Have your camera ready. I had my I use my cell phone as my music and my camera, so I just had my camera out ready to go like the entire time we were in Magic Kingdom, and I stopped for so many pictures. It was so much fun.
What's the process like from when you get there to the end of the race, or what's the experience like for someone who's going to do it?
Okay, so you start out and you go, and they have this big, they have tents set up at the Epcot parking lot. They have you can do a pre-race breakfast tent, which I talked to a woman who said she loved it and she would absolutely pay for it, but it was like an extra $75 to stand in a tent, so we didn't do that. But they have a DJ going, pumping you up and playing music, and there's just people gathering, and we did I ran with a race team, and so we did a meet and greet before. I guess it's not a meet and greet with just other runners, but we met up before, and then there's a bag check in between, and then you walk to your corral, and it's about a 10 to 15 minute walk from the start line from the waiting area to the corrals, which is where you start from. And then they set you up in different corrals based on speed. Like, you have to tell them what you think your estimated speed is going to be. And then based on, I think after a certain point in time, it's when you register. So we registered early, so we were in a pretty early corral. And then every time that they start with the wheelchair race first. So they have Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy ready to go up on the podium with the announcements. And they say, all right, runners, get ready. And they do a countdown, and then they shoot fireworks off. Every time, every corral, they shoot fireworks off. It was just like, you're pumped up, ready to go. And the DJ's playing amazing music. And when it's, you know, you're watching it. I watched it. I was in Corral D, so including the handicap race, I watched it 4 times by the time I got there, and it was still so exciting when they told me to go. It was just, it's invigorating. I can't wait to do it again. And they have bands along the way, like high school bands are there. They have Off Kilter was there. They had.
So where do you run when you leave? You do run right out of Epcot?
Okay, you start outside of Epcot, and you head towards the Ticket and Transportation Center. So you ran right past the Speedway, and then you run to Magic Kingdom by the back road. So you're running up past the Contemporary, and then you run to into Magic Kingdom, down Main Street. You don't come in the main gate. You come in one of the side streets, and then you go through the cast member areas, and you go down Main Street through Tomorrowland, through Fantasyland, and they've got characters set up like every 12 steps when you're in the Magic Kingdom. It's just amazing. And there's crowds along the way. Spectators are allowed in the Magic Kingdom at 5 a.m. to go watch. So that's really cool if you happen to be there and just want to go cheer people on. It was pretty cool to have people cheering for you. Through Tomorrowland, through Fantasyland, and then you go through through the castle. And they had photographers set up right in front of the castle, so I got a picture taken in front of the castle. And then you leave out through, I feel like you go past the Crystal Palace on your way out, and then you head back to Epcot. And it's a pretty much entirely flat route with characters set up, characters or entertainment set up pretty much, I think it was every half a mile to a mile, and water stops and Gatorade stops, and I guess it's Powerade. They don't do Gatorade there for some reason. And then at Epcot, on your way to Epcot, you do 2 overpasses. So you're going on the off ramp. So it feels like it's like 2 hills, but that's the whole thing. And then you enter Epcot by test track, run through down past, we ran around the Christmas tree because they still had all the Christmas decorations up, like where the Christmas tree is right at the World Showcase entrance. And then you run out, you go past the Geosphere and you're out, and that's it. You're done. 13.1. 13.3 according to my watch, but 13.1 technically, and you're done. And I'm tired just saying that.
Do you have any, like, did you have a ritual the night before? Because the one thing I think would be a huge problem is that you're at Disney the day before, yeah, and there's this temptation to kind of go overboard and see everything and maybe eat stuff you shouldn't. Did you do anything special to prepare for the next day?
Being our first race, we were extra cautious, and that was part of the reason that convinced us to stay off property. So we went grocery shopping, and we bought spaghetti and tomato sauce and ground beef. So we had basically spaghetti and meatballs the night before, because we were like, we could go out to eat, but we don't want, what if something doesn't sit right?
Yeah.
We don't, you never know with restaurants. And we're also like, we don't want to be exhausted running around the parks. You know, I tend to go park commando, so we didn't want to go crazy. So we didn't really do anything the day before the race. We just hung out. We flew in on Thursday. I guess Friday was the kids fest, and we had our 1 year old do the, they have a 100-meter dash for 1 year olds, and they have different races for kids. It's awesome. They have diaper dashes and up to a 1 mile for the kids. So that was our Friday. And then we just kind of hung out and just relaxed and took it easy.
Do you have to, I don't think you do. Because based on what you've said, but you don't have to like pre-qualify for these races like you would for, say, like the New York Marathon, where you have to
done
a certain number of races beforehand or anything.
No, not at all. They actually say, well, when to get into your corral, like your start position, it's based on previous time. So if you've never done anything before, they're going to automatically put you in a lower corral. But if you've run and you can say that you've done a 9-minute pace, they'll put you in a higher corral. For us, we had never, when we registered, we'd never even done a 5K. So we're like, we'll assume that we'll be at a 12-minute pace or more. So that's where they put us, with the 12-minute pace. We could finish a half in 2.5 hours.
Do they sell out? Do you need to register like online as soon as like day one?
Well,
or?
The price goes up. So we registered pretty early because I didn't know. The half sold out. They did sell out, but like not until the very last minute. They were like hanging around the 95th percent of sold out until about the month before. So you're not really in a hurry to register, and they open up. I know for January, registration opens up in March, but it's cheaper if you register in March than if you register in October. You'll save $20. What else is there? This can be a qualifying race. When I finished, I was like, why did my watch say 13.3? And my husband's GPS said 13.3. And somebody mentioned that any race that could be a qualifier for New York or for Boston has to be a little over, so they can't say that you didn't run enough. So it is expected that you will run a little more than the 13.1 that you're planning to run.
And aren't there people there who do both the half and the full?
Yeah, it's called the Goofy Challenge, and you run Saturday, you run the 13.1, and then Sunday, you run the 26.3, and you get both, for doing the half, you get a Donald medal, and Donald, your shirt's got Donald. For the whole, you get Mickey, and if you do both of them, you get a Goofy. And some people apparently do the 5K on Friday as well.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and Monday you soak in the hot tub because...
Right, and Monday you get into the park for free, but no one... I mean, maybe people did, but I've never ever... There were no lines anywhere. I mean, I was taking pictures of all the wait times because it was like Space Mountain, 10 minutes, 5 minutes for Peter Pan and the grand the race cars, the Grand Prix or whatever, Tomorrowland Speedway. There were no lines. It was just ridiculous.
So that ticket was only good on that Monday. You couldn't use it another time later in the year.
Only good on that Monday. I think they were doing that because people just leave. But it's weird that they don't do the park discounts like they do for the other races.
My perception of the January marathons is that they're not, like you said, they're not Disney fans. Whereas, you know, Wine and Dine was all Disney fans and people in funny costumes. And, you know, you could tell these were people who were running with their groups of friends. And it was, you know, it was a whole thing, just like the princess.
Right. They did. I did see a couple, and I think it was when I was taking a picture with Alice in Wonderland and her people, that people in front of me were dressed as flamingos and stood on one leg for their picture. I did enjoy that. It was very funny.
We saw a couple dressed as grapes. So they had like tights on and like shirts, you know, and then they had like balloons all over their bodies. So that's how they ran 13 miles.
That's awesome.
That's insane.
That's funny. I remember seeing, I think it was Slutty Snow White. That one was pretty good.
You know what? I think I saw her picture.
Really?
I really do. Yes. I think I know who you're talking about. I think that picture was making the rounds.
That's
well,
awesome.
I mean, one has to assume. I mean, she's living with seven guys. I mean, you know, so.
Yeah. Really? She looks innocent, but she's not.
Yeah, that was something that we definitely commented on at 5 a.m.
I'm sure.
I'm kind of surprised that they let her run in a slutty Snow White costume. You know, it's that I guess anything goes, though.
I think pretty much anything goes.
But what about the 5K? Do kids run it with their parents?
Yeah, there's no age limit on the 5K. And unlike the half and the whole, parents can push running strollers, which I didn't know. I knew that it wasn't allowed for the bigger races, but that is allowed for the 5K because it's like a family run. So there, you know, if a kid can run 3 miles, which 8-year-olds sometimes can, they can run with the family. So I hope to one day have my son do that with us, but we'll see. I like that idea.
So are you signing up for the next one?
Yeah, we're planning to sign up for next January's. We get a discount for having done this past year, and we just love the experience. So we're definitely going to do it again. I've signed up for another half in my area. So,
can you tell us a little bit about the race packet pickup experience? Because you go the day before, you have to pick up your packet and go through all of that, and there's like an expo.
Yeah, okay, the expo, it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And since we flew in on Thursday and our hotel or villa wasn't ready till 4, we went straight to the Wide World of Sports to get our packets. And I'd never been to the Wide World of Sports before. We just never thought to go by there. And so we found the one area and we found the kids' festival pickups. So we got all of our son stuff. And then then you have to go get your race number. It was very confusing how they had your bibs, which is what you wear with your number on it on your shirt. They had those in one room, and then they had your packets with your shirts in another building. It was very odd, and I don't know why they did that.
They didn't do it that way at the Wine and Dine. They had everything in the same building, but
it was
still pretty confusing. Yeah, they were different lines, yeah.
I remember having to ask a question to be like, where am I supposed to go get my t-shirt or my pin? I don't know. They had special pins for the event, so that was exciting. I have my little half marathon official pin.
The one good thing is they have tons of volunteers in there. And if you're not running a race, but maybe you're local and you'd like to get a free park ticket, you can earn hours towards a park ticket by volunteering for these races. And people do all kinds of things. They work putting the packets out, or they give out water and all sorts of things.
So yeah, and they also have a cheer squad. So if you just want to go and you cheer somebody on, you can go make signs, and they have set up for that.
Do you know, do they give out prizes for, like, the person that finishes number one, you know, before
everybody
else?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a good monetary prize for anybody who finishes first, but I don't know what that is. I know the rest of us normal folks just get a little medal.
Oh, Chris, I was wondering, have you run in the marathon before?
No, I signed up for the Wine and Dine and had an injury. So I went and got my packet so I could get my free food. And then I went to the after party. So... Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'll do any more. I thought about doing the Wine and Dine. I'm not really sure how I feel about that.
Chris, you should come down and do January's. It was a lot of fun.
Really? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to continue to run.
Yeah, I understand that. Unfortunately, yeah. I have to. So.
I know. Yeah, I had a really bad injury in September, and it's just now getting better. So I don't know how I feel about running anymore. But I think, you know, like I said, I went and I got the packet and everything, and it seemed, you know, like it was pretty well organized. And people really seemed to be having a good time because I went and my friends ran it, and I went to the after party with them, and it was a good time. So
I was surprised at how much fun it could be because I did a 10-miler in October, and I actually injured myself too, and I took an entire month off of running, and yeah. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it, but I did, luckily, and I didn't hurt myself anymore, and it was just so much fun. I mean, yeah, I don't remember feeling like I was in that much pain while I was doing it, but I'm not one to push. I don't like yeah. to hurt. I go nice and slow.
I'm a pretty slow runner too, but I mean, like I said, I think the pace is pretty manageable. You can even walk totally. It. So
for the whole, I've heard a lot of stories for the full marathon, because the full goes through all four parks.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, they're actually introducing the full marathon as a relay starting in 2012.
Really?
Yeah. So they don't have any details on that yet, but they did announce that the full marathon will be a relay. So part of me wants to do that because I want to run through Animal Kingdom. But with that 16-minute pace, if you can get fast enough on the race route, they hand out fast passes for Everest. And so people,
oh wow,
or in Hollywood Studios, I've seen people with race bibs on Everest and on the Tower of Terror. You, like, those pictures are floating around because the parks are open. It starts at 6 a.m. You start running at 6 and you've got, what, 6 hours to go. So if you can start fast enough, you can have time to run on those races, to ride the rides.
It's amazing. So I wonder how they'll divide that. Okay, so it's 26 miles. Do you think the first person will do, you know, 10 and the second person will do 13? Because that's pretty, or 16, because that's pretty manageable.
That would be manageable. I was wondering, I'm like, how are they going to make that different than 13 and 13? So I don't know.
Well, because what they did for the wine and dine for the relay is they did 8 and 5. That which makes 5 sense. Is very manageable, right? Yeah. And so
bring
do you
a
get the
family.
Same medal?
You know, if you do the relay for the wine and dine, you get a totally different medal. Well, it's not totally different. It just looks slightly different.
Gotcha. I was wondering how they'd work that.
Yeah. They were cute medals.
The medals are really cool. I put ours in a shadow box with our race bibs. So it's pretty exciting. I don't know. I like that we did it. It was so much fun. I think I took my first picture when I went into the race. I wasn't sure if I was going to take pictures. And then I saw Princess Tiana. And our daycare worker was like, you have to take a picture with Tiana. She's our favorite. You have to take a picture. And so I saw her and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to stop. And I pulled out my phone. And as I did it on my phone, like, you take your picture and it's like, would you like to share? And I'm like, oh yeah, Facebook. So I was taking pictures and uploading them to Facebook as I was running.
Is there like a line for the characters while you're
Some
running
of the
along?
Characters, there's a huge line leaving. I think it was leaving the Magic Kingdom. They had a big pirate ship with all the Pirates of the Caribbean and Jack Sparrow. And that line had 50 people. And I don't personally love pirates that much. So that one didn't show much interest to me. But the ones I stopped at didn't take more than 2 minutes. There were, depending on which characters you were, the lines were different, but I didn't want to really, really, really get behind where I was. So I just stopped at the short characters. So luckily, like, Mary Poppins didn't have a long line, and she was one of my absolute favorites. So I had to stop with her. And
so during the actual marathon, did I hear you right that they actually give out fast passes?
Yeah, they have cast members handing out fast passes for some of the big rides.
But that's during the marathon or
during
after the
marathon
that they use their fast?
So people,
so they're like running the marathon and then they just hop in the line and ride Everest? Yeah.
I guess if you're a fast enough runner, you know.
Or if you start in a faster corral, I mean, I started in corral.
It's kind of like the tortoise and it's like the tortoise and the hare. Like the tortoise is like running and all the hare is like riding all the rides, getting his pictures taken with the characters.
I started in the fourth corral. There were 7 corrals, so I could have gone slower than 16-minute pace because they don't know. But I started fast enough. Like, I know a couple that said that they were going to try to get into a really, really fast corral for the marathon, like the first or second corral, so that they can just stop for everything.
I thought that isn't there a little tab on your shoe that keeps track of your pace?
There is. I don't really know how that works, but I guess they're not going to win.
My fear would be that, you know, I'd be having all kinds of fun and then all of a sudden they'd be like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to get in the golf cart because you're way over your 60-minute pace.
That's true.
They come and they pull you off Everest.
Yeah. You get off Everest now. But yeah, but they have, I mean, they did have the cast members, so I guess it's not, they're not worried. I read a story that they're called D-tabs and you start wearing them because a woman in New York doing the New York Marathon in like 1982 hopped on the subway and went from point A to point B and won the marathon by like 20 minutes because she took the subway down.
That's wrong.
Well, that's apparently why they now have the GPS tracking chip on you. You can't get away with that anymore.
Well, I think the whole thing just sounds like a great time, and you know,
it was so much fun.
It makes me want to get in shape.
Bob, we need to get. Okay, I will start running again if we could get a Mouse Chat team together. Well, even though right now,
which one? Which race?
Let's do the wine and dine because there's food involved.
Wine and dine.
For this year?
So that when you stop and they like serve you beer and food?
No, but at the end you get food. Yes.
I'm in. I'm in.
It's like drinking around
the
world.
Some people jog with weights in their hand, but Lauren's going to have a cupcake in each hand.
A cupcake exactly. in one hand and a glass of wine in the other hand.
And okay. one of those hats that have beer cans on either side.
I was picturing that with cheese soup in it.
See?
Oh.
Yummy. That cheese soup is good.
I want to do like Goofy's Challenge or something.
Well, let's start with the
yeah,
wine.
Yeah, let's start with like a yeah, if not the 5K, Steve. I mean, like. Yeah.
What is the wine and dine?
How far
is
it? It's 13.1.
It's a half marathon, and then there's a 5K. Oh. You know what? Oh, wait, the cool thing.
What about the 5K?
The cool thing is if you do the 5K.
Is the 5K they called the kids' meal? let's do the kids' meal.
The 5K is like the. Halloween fun run, it's called, and I have to say there were some very old people running in that last year, so I think we're all good to go as far as running 5Ks. But you get a ticket when you buy. I think it's like $45 to register. That's what it was last year. And with your registration, you actually get a ticket to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party that night. So it's actually a pretty good deal.
I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then they might not do it this year because it's now an established race. But, you know, right. Yeah, maybe we need to do that. Maybe I'll just do a 5K. That's totally manageable.
That'd be kind of neat, like a little podcast fun run, mouse chat.
We could podcast while we're running.
We could.
I don't think I would be breathing properly.
Seriously, honest to God, you could walk it. So don't, you know, it's no big
deal. If I can walk it, I'm in.
All right. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in. If you want me in, I'm in.
Actually, Lisa, will you walk with me?
Yeah, we'll go arm in arm.
Wait, can we walk past like, you know, and get like some beer cheese soup and?
Can I dress like a flamingo?
Well, and the nice thing is that race.
Yeah, well, yeah, Bob, we're all dressing like flamingos.
Yeah, we all are.
Don't
that Halloween fun run last year started at
anymore.
But the wait, Halloween. Do I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Because that's not going to fly. Can I get there
I
late?
I think it's like a 7 o'clock race. You know.
All right, I'm good then.
The cool thing is the last year the Halloween Fun Run actually started at the Ticket and Transportation Center and then went down past the Contemporary and into the Magic Kingdom. It looped around the hub basically, and then came back out. And so it was like a really scenic run, right? You know, you get to go into the Magic Kingdom. So,
okay, so clearly the parks are closed during this. Sometimes, but not all the time.
During the marathon lasts so long that they open up. And I think during the half, I definitely saw some shops setting up. But they open, I remember hearing they like some of the stores open up for the visitors, like on Main Street. Like Casey's Corners open at like 5 for the people that are there.
I wondered about that. Yeah, because if you have all those people in the Magic Kingdom, you've got to have something going on, right?
I definitely saw a store in the store by, I think it's like Mrs. Potts or whatever. I don't know. I get my stores confused. Over in Fantasyland, one of the stores was opening up while I was running through, and it was maybe 7 a.m. There weren't any. I didn't see any people there, but maybe in the case the marathoner wants to buy a T-shirt or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna have to look into the wine and dine.
Yeah, that would totally be worth.
I'm down there then, so sign me up. I'll do it.
What date is that usually?
I think it's the first or the second this year.
Wait, I'm looking
of
now.
Of what?
October? It's October. It's September 30th or October 1st.
Maybe we can get some podcast listeners to join us to make this a little event.
Yeah, because, I mean, seriously, a 5K, we can all do that. Even with my bad leg that I have now.
I think we could do that.
I could manage that.
I could do it. If I can walk, I can do it.
Yeah.
It's not even fair for Bob because Bob's like a foot taller than most of us. So he's just going to like take normal steps.
Are you allowed to put a baby on your back in one of those backpack things?
Yeah, you totally could do that. It might jostle the baby.
You might want to just use the stroller. The backpack might be uncomfortable to run with.
The baby will be like, boom, 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 boom.
And that's a lot more work for you.
She's going to be bigger then, too.
Yep. You can do it.
So this October she'll be almost 2.
Be like Luke Skywalker having Yoda on your back.
Yet another podcast goes by with a Star Wars reference.
I can be Luke Skywalker with Yoda, and you can be a flamingo.
And I can dress like a bunch of grapes.
I like
and I would
that.
Totally do that too. Actually, people dressed up in Halloween costumes for that, so that's another option. Because I know that somewhere there's a slutty Snow White costume.
I have costumes for The Incredibles. We could all run as Incredibles. I don't have that many costumes. I just have them for my family, but that'd be fun.
Do you really?
We could be like Frozone and everything. We could be like all the characters. There you go.
Or we could go as Toy Story folks.
Toy Story, yeah.
I want to be Edna Mode.
Darling.
By the way, if you have any pictures of you guys dressed up as The Incredibles, feel free to send them to me.
Oh, I do.
Do you?
I do. I don't think Steve did. I have the costume for
it. Because I bet I know some nerds who would pay money to see Lisa dressed up as the mom from The Incredibles.
Oh, and I was about 20 pounds lighter, so this is a lot better.
It's too funny.
I'm going to find that photo. I will. And, and I'm going to put some kind of disclaimer across my face so you can't post it.
Okay.
All right. Are there any more questions about marathons or races? Or you know what? I'm still a little curious, and I want to understand this from a travel agent point of view. Can you run the race if, let's see, when you run the race, you have to sign up for a package, a marathon
no.
package?
No.
Oh, you're just buying a spot in the race.
Okay, so you can buy your little spot in the race, and then you can book whatever vacation you want. But don't they also have marathon packages?
They do, Lisa, but they're not that good of a deal. And it's actually run through a separate – it's not run through like the regular like Disney.com. You have to go through a separate part of the company to book these. And it's a slightly discounted room, which we said earlier wasn't as good as a general public discount. And then you buy these discounted tickets, which a travel agent can't actually buy those tickets. The client has to buy those tickets herself. And, you know, this when I signed up for the Wine and Dine, I paid for my ticket or I paid for my race participation. I used an AP discount for the room and then I bought the tickets separately because I had friends going with me who needed the tickets. And I actually, you know, I didn't run the race and I was still able to use my tickets, obviously, the park tickets. So, but no, you don't have to buy a package at all. You just buy your ticket or your race packet or admission.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. I learned a lot about Disney marathons, and it looks like I'm signed up for one.
Oh, and can we mention this about Jennifer? Jennifer is in the Army, and not only is Jennifer in the Army, she's in the Army band, which is like the coolest thing ever. So,
thanks. Yes, I am.
Can you tell us what you play?
Clarinet.
Ah, because that's what all the cool girls play.
But everybody,
well, everybody knows if you're a girl with a clarinet, you're pretty cool.
I have to yawn.
Now you ruined my yawn because I laughed. How unsatisfying. Wow. That's just really a bummer. All right. Here we go. Okay. So we do have a listener question this week. This is from Mariah, and she writes, I've been listening to your podcast for a while and really enjoy it. Well, thank you very much. I live in California, and I am an annual pass holder to Disneyland and go at least once a month. I have reservations for my first Disney World vacation in June. I've recently been diagnosed with a lot of food allergies and sensitivities. I've figured out how to contact Walt Disney special dietary needs for any of the sit-down restaurants. My question is, how can I figure out which question... My question is, how can I figure out which quick dining places would be recommended? I'm allergic to beef, shellfish, almonds, and I'm also sensitive to citrus, egg yolks, gluten, and yeast. On top of all that, I'm also asthmatic with chemical sensitivities and environmental allergies. We will be arriving June 16th, leaving on the 21st. Animal Kingdom Villas. Any other hot tips and places to visit would also be welcome. Thanks. So that's from Mariah. Wow.
The the best thing she can do is call 407-WDW-DINE and ask to speak to someone about the special diets, because they can give you all kinds of information about what's safe on the menu, what isn't, and possibly help you either order a special meal at a sit-down place or pick out things that you can actually eat at the counter service places. And there's a there's an email that she's going to need to know. It's www.special.diets@disney.com, and that's where you're going to request a special diet worksheet, and they will work with you and help you figure out the places you can go. Disney is really accommodating.
They are.
In this respect. They're
very accommodating.
It's going to be easier to eat at a table service place. She's going to have a lot more satisfying meals. I mean, at a place like at the table service places, the chef will actually come out and talk to you. You know, you'll call 3 days ahead and reiterate what your dietary requests are that you made with your dietary worksheet. You'll call 3 days ahead and you will either speak to the chef or someone else on staff at the restaurant. And then once you get there, you can actually talk to the chef again, and they'll come out and talk about what's safe for you and how it's going to be prepared. They're very good at making sure there's no cross-contamination with gluten, for example, or other items. About the only thing that Disney can't accommodate is kosher food. They will actually you can buy kosher food, but these are basically packaged frozen meals that are certified kosher off-site that are shipped on-site, and you can buy those. But otherwise, they can pretty much help you with anything you need. But as I said, your best bet is going to be a table service as opposed to a counter service if you want variety and really good food. So it might – go ahead.
I was going to say, I also have – I got my hands on a list of – the Walt Disney World food allergies and dietary reference sheet. And this, it's kind of interesting because it tells you what's in everything, at least the main things like the chicken strips. And it tells you what the turkey legs are marinated in, or.
Does it tell you what if the turkey legs are
turkey
legs?
Yeah, what animal those come from?
It doesn't. No.
Emu.
I don't know. But it says that the ketchup is Heinz. The salad dressing is Ken's Steakhouse. It tells you all kinds of interesting things. Even down to, let's see, if you wanted to get some chocolate chip cookies, you can, because they have a brand that are gluten, lactose, and peanut free. And it tells you where you can get these. Actually, you know what? I've got your email. I'm going to forward this to you so you can take a look. It may be helpful. They also have chocolate chip cookies under another name brand, which are made without milk, eggs, peanuts, and tree nuts. So
and what about our favorite people at Baby Cakes? That's gluten-free, dairy-free.
Oh, we love Baby Cakes.
So she might want to check that out in Downtown Disney as well.
Yeah.
And then also, I would say, well, a couple things. Since she's staying in a villa, if there's food that, you know, like sandwiches or something that she wants to bring into the park, that they do allow that. She may be familiar with that from Disneyland already. So they do also allow that at Disney World, and that's not a big deal to go through security with that. And then since she mentioned the chemical and other allergies, she can also request that they do a special cleaning or a deep cleaning of the room.
That's a great idea. I forgot about that. They can do that.
I actually had to I have a friend with really bad asthma and allergies, and they did it for his room, so I know it can be done. You just have to call and request it.
Is there an extra cost for that?
There is not.
Wow.
Yeah. So and I guess they just need to know, kind of, you know, if there's chemicals or things that they shouldn't use, it's something you definitely want to make them aware of, so they don't go overboard with anything, or, you know, possibly make the problem worse. But certainly a really lovely resort, too, that they've chosen to stay at.
Yeah, oh, yes, they're going to love it.
Lots to see there, and since she asked for, you know, other advice, I mean, I would just say take time to explore the resort and you know, view the special viewing areas of the animals, and especially at night when you have the opportunity to use the night vision goggles.
So that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Join us again here next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Why do we keep saying goodbye?
I know, because Steve edits it out, right?
Yeah.
Steve. Steve, do you know what happened?
Oh, wait. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Okay, now we're done.
Steve, can I just tell you what happened to me today and that what left me cursing you? I have been expecting my iPhone to come in because my phone is broken, and I've been dying without my phone. And so I get this box, and it's on my front porch, and it's shaped just like an iPhone would be. And it's, you know, like, and so I get all excited, and I'm like playing with the box and trying to open it. And I think it's my phone, and it's business cards.
Which was really funny because she posted on Facebook, Steve, which is like, you know, the Steve from like Con.
I was so mad. Yeah, I was cursing you, so sorry.